April came to SWAC in 1963, the year after the construction on the lab had begun. He won the 1995 Nobel Prize for discovering the tau in 1975 using the Speer storage ring fed by the SWAC linen.
We've been talking about SLAC's past and what Peef did. I'm going to talk about carrying Peef's legacy into the future, and Peef and I had some concerns about how to do that, and in fact, last Monday I did talk to him about these concerns. Peef set up a structure here in which creativity, invention, innovation was a bottoms-up phenomena. And that has been carried out by Bert and by Jonathan, and people have talked about the various successes. Let me tell you a little bit about what this bottom-up creativity is and what the problems are now. People, all of the Slack, bring in ideas. Now, some of them are just cockeyed. And so a physicist has to be told by his colleague or an engineer, it's an idea, but it violates Maxwell's equations. Or the physicist has to be told by a welder, we cannot make welded aluminum structures with the precision of 1/10,000th of an inch. And so we get rid of the cockeyed ideas. The next step in the Peef structure is that the idea goes at the lowest level to a group leader or some person at the lowest management level at a division, and that and she or he have the disposable money to provide the $10,000 or $20,000 that's needed to carry it out. It doesn't have to go upstairs. Now, sometimes things don't cost $10,000 or $20,000, but they cost $100,000 or $150,000. And that goes up to maybe an intermediate level where, again, there's disposable money for that. It doesn't have to go to the Scientific Policy Committee. It doesn't have to go to the director. And it certainly doesn't have to go to Washington. Now, that is the structure. And it's what I call bottom-up creativity, innovation, and invention. Now, I wanted to talk to Peef, and I did talk to him last Monday, about how much that would cost. And his answer was, for a laboratory the size of SLAC, to have this disposable money at the lower and intermediate level is $1 to $2 million. $1 to $2 million a year. And that's from an institution whose budget is $150 to $200 million a year. Now, let me give you simply one example of bottoms-up creativity. When Speer was started, we high-energy physicists were very excited about it, and there were a few people, and I was reminded of this by my friend Herman Winnig, who wanted to do synchrotron radiation. And we high-energy physicists didn't want them around. We were doing the right thing. But a wise man, Sidney Drell, had been appointed as energy czar. I don't know if you remember that, Sidney. He sat through many acrimonious meetings, but he made the decision that synchrotron radiation should be supported. And it grew from a bottoms-up small idea through the Stanford Synchrotron Radiation Laboratory and many other people to the magnificent X-ray facility that we're building now and the tremendous incorporation of photon science into our laboratory. That's a bottoms-up idea. Okay, what is the problem that we're having and I'm worried about and people's worried about this $1 or $2 million? Well, as you all know, budgets are tight, and That's the problem. Now, there is a way, and Pete's thought about that a lot, to assemble that money in a laboratory by taxing the big projects, a few percent. And so building up what he used to call a landlord fund of disposable money and putting it at the use of the people down below. Now, of course, the people with the big projects don't like that, and I've been in big projects and oppose it because we always need the last few percent. But of course, that's nonsense. That's an internal problem which we can solve here, and we have solved it in the past. There is also an external problem. We get our funds from the federal government, and the funding agencies are required to follow rules of oversight set up by the legislative and executive branch, and that's reasonable. The question is how much oversight and how much detail. We are very happy at the end of every period to report our successes, our failures, our dreams. But we cannot have a detailed request at the beginning as to how we're going to spend the $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000. That cannot be done. It's a struggle, and what has to be done is we, with the help of the university, have to educate and have a firm stand about the PEEF method of creativity, innovation, and invention. Now, we are through again to our funding agencies. We are having management studies which will help us. I will tell you that I'm puzzled by them. I have not met the people, the gentlemen, and they've not come to see me. I don't know why. I don't know how expert they are in the peace doctrine. I have one reason, maybe. They may know about the mistakes I've made in engineering and physics. About 8 years ago, I published a paper on how to look for very massive particles in a small apparatus, and it slipped through the referees at Physics Review and was published. Fortunately, two of my dear colleagues, Eric Lee, a Renaissance engineer, and Dr. Irwin Lee, who was then a graduate student, found the error. I had not violated Maxwell's equations for electrodynamics. What I had violated in fluid mechanics was the fundamental Navier-Stokes equation. And they caught it before we started spending money on it. The greatest memorial that we can leave for Pete is to continue his system of bottoms-up creativity, invention, and innovation, and we will have some fights to do about that, but we're an educational institution, and we know how to educate. Thank you.